spread of diseases like
Blog
AIDS
Talk
and
Radio.
Anthony Fauci confirms he will step down this December. Fauci has been in charge of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases since 1984, first joining government researchers back in 1968. Fauci has won sweeping praise and fierce criticism for the way the U.S. responded to the COVID outbreak. The 81-year-old telling the Washington Post he wanted to step down now while he was still healthy and energetic.
It's a down day on Wall Street so far. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell more than 500 points in early trading on renewed fears the Federal Reserve will act aggressively on future interest rate hikes. The defense has begun laying out its case for why Parkland, Florida school shooter Nicholas Cruz should be spared the death penalty. In her opening statement, lead public defender Melissa McNeil said jurors should consider mitigating factors in his punishment. They include drug and alcohol use by his late mother when she was pregnant with Cruz, the death of his father at an early age, and the death of his adoptive mother several months before the shooting. Cruz pleaded guilty to killing 17 students and staff at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in 2018. The jury will decide if he gets the death penalty or life in prison. The prosecution and defense are presenting their closing arguments in the retrial of two men accused of conspiring to kidnap Michigan's governor. The jury has heard more than a week's worth of testimony in the case against Adam Fox and Barry Croft. Undercover FBI agents provided much of the testimony against the two, but the defense says Fox and Croft were lured into the conspiracy by the Bureau. Following closing arguments and the judge's instructions today, the jury will begin deliberations. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I'm not a criminal.
I work for youth advocate programs, yeah. I was somebody's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, and get a job.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration and neighborhood violence. Youth Advocate Programs. Learn how at yapinc.org.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your Alternative Talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see some clouds in the morning. But don't worry, it'll make way to more sunshine later on this afternoon. High temperatures are 79, 80 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies. Low temperatures back down to about 61. For Tuesday and the rest of the week, more sunshine. High temperatures in the upper 70s to low 80s. For Thursday, probably being the highest of the week at 88, 89. And the low temperatures all week will be in the low 60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Mathilly and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. We've got another great lineup for you today. But I want to start off because I wanted to make a few announcements, and I've asked Jessica to join me here as well as Benny and Jacob. For those of you that have heard the rumors that we will be moving from this time slot, that is correct, but not on TTR. So I want to just make the announcement because this is our 20th year anniversary with KKNW. And without my relationship with KKNW, I wouldn't be here talking with you. But in the 20 years I've been here, I have been waiting for a drive time. And of course, conscious talk had that thought. But recently, we've been made aware that now available to us as we expand and we grow as a network, as we launch new channels, we will be moving to the 7 a.m. on Monday and 7 a.m. on Wednesday time slot on KKNW. It doesn't change a single thing for Transformation Talk Radio or how you can listen to us at different times. it's an important first move for a lot of us for a lot of reasons. And I have Jessica, right? Jessica, this is, what do you want to call it when people start to make these changes? They're like phases. It's almost like a phase one, but it's like something that I've been working towards for 20 years, right? And here it is.
Absolutely. And I think, I don't know if you'll say this about yourself, so I'll say it, is there's a powerhouse behind Dr. Pat and something you've wanted to do with your platform for a long time, and making a shift like this also is an energetic shift, but also an awesome time shift for you to be able to do that and see a lot of really cool new ways to do your show.
Yeah. And I wanted you to come on here because I want to be able to now talk about what we're doing and the changes we're making, because we have talked a little bit about it and what we're doing with the network, but I think they've heard it from me. I wanted you to come on to tell folks what you have been doing, you know, as sort of the genius behind this, and Linda as well, and others on the team, to really craft, you know, what we're doing with the Transformation Network, because that too will be changing sort of, what did you call it, energy?
Yeah, it's a new energy for all of it, and it's expansive. And, you know, I think people on here have probably heard you talk about the new channels, the new technology for years. And we've been, you know, this is my new favorite term for this kind of stuff, microdosing these kind of things with testing the waters and seeing what's out there. And we've been very carefully planning it to do it not only technically right, but energetically right. It has to be the right time, and the world's ready for it now. And so we go from podcasting to live streaming TV with a whole new interface, ways to interact and connect with our hosts, very niche channels. So, and so all solution based, depending on if you're interested in conscious business or health and wellness or LGBTQ or equity and diversity or recovery and addiction or women's health or spirituality. And so we're going to direct people to very specific content in a way that allows them to do it live, TV, and podcasting.
And, you know, for me, Jessica, thank you for so beautifully saying that. It takes a village, and it took a village, and it will take a village. And as a result of that, I will have to say one thing I'm very happy about, unless, Benny, something has changed. I still get to hang out with Benny. It's just like our eyelids are probably not as wide open, but...
Yeah, a lot of surgery.
For those of you that are asking, will I do Monday through Friday at 7 a.m.? The goal is yes. We're not going to come out of the gate like that. Monday and Wednesday for sure on KKNW, and then we'll add Tuesday on TTR. So my platform will still stay consistent, but it will be no longer be at the 10 to noon spot Monday through Friday, and it was one of the hardest decisions, Benny, I have ever made regarding this, and I've made some doozies. But it is in the spirit of not just growing and expanding to grow and expand. Jessica, let's talk to this for a little bit if we could, because we got to be where we are because our host and co-host told us, didn't they?
Absolutely. I had a conversation with somebody last week about this, and she's like, what was the genius business plan behind growing this network? And I just laughed and I said, you know, Dr. Pat's a woman with a genius business organizational development background, but that's actually only part of what built this. What built this was listening to what people need and what people want and acting intentionally around it to make sure that they have the support system in place to not only get their message out to the world, but really do it in a way that honors who they are and how they want to do it.
Yeah. I was working with somebody the other day, a business person, who said to me, we don't get it. I mean, we understand why you're doing it, but what does it do for you? And I said, well, wait a minute. It's never been our intention to only do things for us. And they always pause and they look at you oddly, like, who else would you do it for? And I said, what I've noticed in a 20-year industry, and especially being one of the first podcasters in digital format. I mean, I was doing digital format in 2003. So what is digital format? It's called internet, right? So it wasn't called digital. It was just called internet, like internet radio, right? But here's what I love about this one. Now that we're reflecting back, getting ready to raise funds through crowdfunding for AI for the Soul. But here's what I said to them. I said, you know, it's very easy to build what we build if we only have us in mind. I said, but it was never our intent. We have built technology that we could call up the people that own KKNW and any talk radio network on the planet and say to them, how would you like technology that will cut your effort, increase your distribution, and make it user-friendly for your host? And by the way, if you're all in for that, then what you might be able to do is have it up and running in 48 hours. And when you say that to people, they say, what would be up and running? What would be up and running, Jessica?
An entire interface, an entire dashboard, an entire website, back end, front end, all of it. That goes into what you see as a user when you go to any online streaming network.
Yeah. And so it had to be both for us. It had to be, how do we spread positive talk through individual channels, but how can we help some of the networks? So many of we've seen them go away because they didn't have the technology. I've watched this in 20 years. I've watched positive talk, spirituality, you name it, whatever you want to call it, human potential, not just go away. But I think what we've also watched them do, not be able to begin. How many people, Jessica, have we talked with that have come to us and said, we want our own channel? And they just have not been able to make it happen, right? I mean, you and I in the past year, we have put feelers out there for what people want. We know the channels people want. We know the other people want to start their channels. What excites you, Jessica, from where you sit? And by the way, Jessica is one of our senior executive producers. As I said before, she and I have spent many nights debating, arguing, and then implementing what this technology should look like. And we're actually going to do one more change. But she's also the head of our sales and marketing organization. And she is the leading expert on our team for how to run things, how to change things. And she will be developing a new staff of people because we are going to be hiring producers. But what excites you most as you sit here today, even after the little call we had this morning, what are you seeing shifting and changing? And what are you most excited about?
The ease. I think the ease in which all of this comes together and how easy it will be as a user to get the app, to bookmark something, to follow your host, and how easy it'll make for our hosts to access and market their own stuff. I think of all the things, as entrepreneurs, everybody's busy and overwhelmed, and even as users, we're flooded with stuff all the time, and it has to be easy. And yeah, for me, this feels easy.
It does. And I'm already getting text messages, so I will clarify for those of you that are just like already just lighting this thing up here. First of all, I can't thank this audience enough. You have been extremely loyal. You're the best audience on the planet ever. And effective Monday of next week, we will be moving from the 10 to noon spot on KKNW to 7 a.m. on Monday and 7 a.m. on Wednesday. And we will continue to be adding more shows as time comes available in that drive time spot. It is something we're really excited about because this is our flagship. We here grew this out of the Pacific Northwest, and we want to continue to grow it and support all of the cool things here, all of the businesses, all of the people. And that's why we're making the shift. And thank you to Eric Crema, Benny, all of the people at KKNW for working with us to make this happen and to bring it to reality in conjunction with everything we're doing. See, a lot of times, Jessica, you can put something like this together and it never works out where everybody gets the win. This is a big win-win, isn't it?
It's an infinite win, as they say.
You heard it first right here. Jessica Henderson, senior executive producer, and so much more. When we come back, we have a very special guest that's going to work with us, because here's what I want you to know. our programming has helped millions of people worldwide. I don't even know what our website hit thing is anymore. I just know we have to grow, because every time we get a real popular weekend, we go down, that is going to stop in about a month. We're going to come back and ask y'all for help. Eric is going to work with me so we can get that message out. But the thing you all should know is this change doesn't diminish our commitment to providing you with the best positive media that we can. If in fact, if anything, it raises the bar for all of us. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get down to something we need to do and learn from the mystical, from the magical, when you enact a vision. Thank you, Sari. We'll be right back.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Join the New Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, me, Yvonne, in the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Take the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself, and we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Tune into the Life Strategy Show with your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and say yes to bringing prosperity and success to your future right here and right now. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is here to help you imagine it. Say goodbye to the strings of the past that have been holding you back for far too long. Rise up with Lolita and say yes to the solutions, prosperity, and unlimited possibilities. Visit LifeStrategyMentor.com. That's LifeStrategyMentor.com.
Hey everybody, wow, thank you and welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. For many of you, you may have heard the announcement. We're going to make sure you play it again, but I will tell you that I am so influenced by people like my guest today. And actually, it was through reading her book over the weekend and really leaning into what she was saying where I made the decision this morning to make that announcement. See, because I was really unsure. I was really uncertain. And then I get her message, her book, her passion, her wisdom in my hand. And I tell you something. when you get somebody like Sarah Bertrand in your space, energetically and otherwise, when you look at feminine myths, magic, and mysteries, and you start to not just read it, but you're looking, you're on her website, and you are looking into those eyes. You're just looking at that, and you're like, okay. What you realize is there is a pathway, there is a purpose, and there are infinite possibilities. But what do we need to know from this award-winning author on feminine wisdom, storyteller, spirit keeper? What is it that we are going to learn and know today by her latest genius work, Spirit Weaver, Wisdom Teachings from the Feminine Path of Magic? Sarah, thank you so much for today. It's so great to have you here.
Yeah, it's amazing to be here. I'm excited to weave some magic with you.
Well, okay, so hello, you already did. I mean, I prepped for the show. So I know they send me all these questions, but I read the book. And I can't remember where. I'm hoping I find it as we go through. But there was something I read that had to remind me of something that I can't even explain.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to that? Because we feel things. We know things. And in order for you to show up and be you in this world, you have had to get past a whole lot of challenges and a whole lot of obstacles, right?
Yes, absolutely.
What was that ride like for you?
Riding a dragon. And then I became the dragon.
But let me ask you this question, and your book really does a beautiful job of explaining this to people.
Mm.
Whether you're reading from the domestic nature of creating your nest, or the one that I think, the chapter that I think I read, and maybe you can talk to it as we go on today, is this idea of rooted power and then endarkenment.
Mm.
I was so in awe by reading this as I hesitated. And I was going to make the announcement.
Mm.
Tell me about what this beautiful pathway and what this idea of spirit weaving does. Because one of my totems is a spider.
Okay.
And it was given to me when Sidonia Cahill, my mentor, she, right before she passed away suddenly, she said, Pat, you will not get this for a while. But you are going to learn that you are the weaver and the weaver and the web are one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was, I was still in school, didn't start the network. But this is also what you're saying too, aren't you?
Yes, exactly. So the title of the book is Spirit Weaver, and it's about feminine magic. And so what we often find is that, you know, we hear a lot about magic in the world, and even if we're not a believer in magic, we're watching it on our movies and our TV shows. So we are infused by the sense that there is a magic available in the world. But often that magic has a masculine kind of dimension to it. And not that there's anything wrong with that. That's amazing and brilliant too. But what it often misses is the special magic of the feminine, which is deeply connected actually to embodiment and to earth and to the cycles and to this sense of inner knowing. And it's like an instantaneous knowing, and it doesn't always make logical sense. And this is where the weaving web comes in. And I love the parallels between this, you know, gray metaphor, spiritual metaphor, and the internet, the interweb, that there are these webs or these threads of magic and information and fate that behind the scenes or kind of on a level of reality that we don't always have access to, are spinning into being entire worlds and possibilities. And what we have to learn to do is tune in to to that possibility that's already there. It's kind of already being woven into being. And, you know, and that's what makes it graceful or easeful, because part of the path of magic is we're not doing everything ourselves in this, like, huge struggle. That's like a very kind of mundane world way of thinking, yeah, that we have to work hard and, you know, we have to take all these logical steps. And, of course, hard work and having a plan and a vision, all really important, so we're in no way diminishing those masculine qualities. But it's this feminine intuition and this feminine magic that allows us to take those quantum leaps. Yeah. And really at this time, that's what we're looking for, is to tap in to that wisdom that's going to make, kind of tune us into the miracle frequency.
Yeah, and you know, this is what we really need to look at exactly in your words, because, you know, let me throw this out. What is the one thing that derails this in a nanosecond? Right now, I'm going to tell you what it is for me. I'm okay. Sure it's not the only thing.
Okay.
I'm sure you're going to give us a list.
Yeah.
But because of the way you wrote this book and because of the things you put in the book, this thing I'm about to say to you, I jacked that up and I flipped that around this morning and I just kicked it out of my house. Mm-hmm. It's called doubt. Right?
Yeah.
People say, doubt. Isn't it fear? I said, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know, but I'm telling you it's doubt. The minute that I have an idea or vision, the minute I read a book like this and I'm all into it, I already in the knowing, I know I'm going to make the announcement, I know I'm going to meet about it, it's like coming home.
Yeah.
Doubt is the party crasher.
Yes. And you know, one of the things that in feminine magic we do is we all have this doubt. And I think no matter how much spiritual work we've done, it's not something that goes away. So this is, again, something in feminine magic is this sense of alchemy. It's not about being this perfected being who never has a negative thought. It's how you work with it. So, and actually, usually the bigger our vision gets, the bigger our work gets, the bigger the doubts get. It's kind of one of those spiritual truths that the more energy we're holding, the more of that other energy and how we weave and work with that. And so for me, one of the things with doubt is to welcome it to the table. Let it sit down at the table. Let it have its business meeting. Let it make its points. You know, doubt always wants to raise some, like, it's like your business manager who, you know. But don't embody that doubt. Don't let that doubt become you as if it's your truth. Let it have a place at the table. Listen to it. And then, you know, and sometimes doubt does bring up some questions that can actually help us make things more streamlined and more efficient and you know, kind of alert us to things that need fine-tuning. But ultimately, we ask these, you know, negative emotions, doubt, fear, uncertainty, lack, you know, we gather them, we make a pot of tea, we give them space to have a contribution and we say thank you, but then we come back in to our body and our body knowing and trusting that. And so I think that is in a way the magical art, allowing those voices to have a space, because often if we really just push them away, they kind of come back. But then having the techniques or the trust to say, I've heard you and yet still I believe and I trust and I am making this quantum leap. And I always say it's like, I imagine it, it's like our mother mind and then our thinking mind. It's like, it's kind of like we make it a cup of tea and we give it a few biscuits and we pat it on the head and reassure it.
Yeah, I love this, because I was reading this in your book and I love the metaphor you just used, because here's my bottom line after reading your book,
where I came to about that now. And I'm going to apologize in advance because it's not very sexy, but this is what it means. It's like, okay, you're invited to the table, but you cannot have seconds. Doubt cannot have seconds. You cannot come back and get yourself another big plate of meat. No.
No, exactly. And that's it. It's to be very, it's kind of to have boundaries with these voices. And, you know, and sometimes they're in our head and sometimes they're in our family systems or cultural systems. You know, we can't live in a vacuum. So we can engage with these things, but we have this boundary. And magic is all about boundaries. So this is one of the things I love about embodiment.
Yeah.
Feminine magic is all about creating the container, having the boundary. So, you know, for people who know basic magic, drawing a circle, the magic circle is the first act of magic. You're creating a container and a boundary, and then all the magic happens in there. And even though the voices might be tapping on the window outside saying, this will never work, you know, it's like you've created your magical container, and that is, it's like an energetic womb space that's going to grow something incredible in your life.
I love it, and I love the way you've gone through this. First of all, for those of you just tuning in, you know, I want you to meet Seren Bertrand, and you can go to the website, and it's SerenBertrand.com. When you go there, look, you're going to find the book. You're going to find the essay, but you're going to find much more. This is what I love. If you go to the website, click on the Feminine Magic button. It's a button right on our homepage. And what you're going to find, and I dare you not to be able to look into her eyes for anything less than like 10 seconds, but click on the button. What you're going to find is what we're talking about. And there's so much more. And I got to congratulate you for the award you're winning, but I'm not surprised. I wish I could say we were surprised. So here's the next thing I want to chat with you about. Why am I not surprised? So Benny has heard me mention this a million times. The precursor to the conversations and the writing of the book started about two decades ago when our pop culture started to change. How did it change? Game of Thrones would not be the hit it was if it came out today. And Game of Thrones and anything related to this in the pop culture, and I use pop culture, but it's, let's say, mainstream. There were just some changes that happened that the divine feminine had a chance to really wake up and ignite.
Yeah.
Now, why do I use that as a reference? Because it says that your book, your message, isn't for a small group of people like it was 20 years ago or even 30 years ago. It is for the message that people can't wait to get their hands on. What do you think has changed? What do you think Spirit Weaver would love to tell us?
Well, what I think from a metaphysical perspective is that in 2012, we actually moved into a feminine energy dimension, the whole world, and we're just catching up now. And so a lot of these kind of crazy shifts that we're seeing in the world and the chaos, and of course we know that one of the ways that the feminine spins and weaves her magic is through chaos. Chaos creates possibility, and the linear mind loves certainty. But if you're on a timeline and it's certain and progressing, but you want change, you have to enter a time of chaos for a new possibility to emerge. So from my perspective, as you know, many spiritual traditions have foretold, 2012, there was a huge energy shift. But for me, that energy shift was a feminine energetic, and it's taken over the world, and anything that can't really flow with that is kind of moving into more chaos in order to find a deeper possibility. So I think that there's a purpose in the chaos, And then this kind of feminine magic, this feminine energy is rising and it's finding its place and finding its balance.
You call it, okay, paraphrase, I'll try to find it, but I don't think I'll find it. But when you come in, you open the book, first chapter maybe introduction, you say, welcome inside the great weave.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about that because I want to talk to you about it because the great weave and spirit keeper, right? When you look at them like this, they're like this. But when you look at them like this, they're like this, right?
Yeah.
People can't see me. Okay, so I see you on video, so they don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
What I'm saying is I want people to know the depth and the breadth of the energy of looking at the weaver and looking at the spiritual path and really looking at this idea of spirit keeper because it's almost like this beautiful, perfect storm of consciousness and abundance.
Yes. You know, one of the things that I feel is like the beauty of the weaving, let's say, is we're not actually in control of it or directing it. And, you know, as humans, we're never very comfortable when we can't control and direct things. But the weaving is this great magical dimension that we live in and is creating magical possibility for us. And then when we're a spirit keeper of that weaving, what we're committing to is that we are going to, I always say, we hold our thread. Right. It's not our job to do the whole weaving, you know, that is the weaver's job. But our job is to know what our thread, our piece is in the weaving and to hold and keep that. And for me, that's really important because we live in a world now of overwhelm, you know, and everyone's like in other people's threads, in essence. And I think, again, that's a really important thing of discernment. And, you know, so for everyone listening right now, it's just to think and, you know, it'll come in a click. What's your thread in this weave? And it's usually what brings you joy, what you love doing, what synchronicity happens around it, and that in your life, no matter where you go, what you do, this thing always pops up. It's like, I always say, it's calling to you. It won't let you off the hook, and that's your thread. That's the magic that you're here to keep in the world. And you don't have to worry about everyone else's magic.
I love this. You know what? Because what you just described and what you created and what we're calling a book, this is so much more than a book. I almost feel a little bit embarrassed to refer to this as a book. And of course, your publisher will probably send me a letter, but it is a book, but it's so much more than that. Robust is an understatement, but I love what you've done because you're giving us a situation. You're giving us information. You're giving us, this is the myth around it. You're giving us solutions. You're giving us rituals. I dare to say that you probably think you've left something out. That's probably going to be your next body of work.
Absolutely.
This had to be downloaded to you.
Yes.
Was it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I feel... So I'm a professional writer as well. I've been writing for 2 decades now.
Wow.
And I was a trained journalist before that, and I was a reporter on human rights. So I often feel like these ideas choose people who are trained writers because, you know, that's our craft. And what I've known about books or ideas is it's like they're like babies, they have a soul and they choose their mother and then they download into the mother and then you grow and gestate them and nourish them and then birth them out into the world. And, you know, and it's funny that you say this about the book because when I create a book, I never ever hold a vision of the book as like kind of bits of paper with words on. I always see it as a home or a chamber or a mansion, and that when people open the first page, it's like they've opened a door.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've gone into a world, into a dimension. And, you know, the first few chapters are when someone greets you and makes you a cup of tea and then ushers you to different rooms where you can have different experiences. And for me, that's how I see books. And I feel that's a medicine book rather than an entertainment book.
It is, no question about it. Because, you know, when I took a look at this, and I told you this, I took a look at it, I don't know if it was last night, whatever time it was before this morning, and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was in this place that you just described, which I couldn't redo it, but it was almost like a place of knowing exactly what I needed to get up and do, what I was going to look at, right, what my next step is. And without making an announcement of things, just doing it. But I love this. There are so many things for the feminine magic and the feminine energy and the feminine spiritual path, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And I tell people, look, pick your own name for whatever it is you're on. Mm-hmm. We're just putting some ideas out there.
Yeah.
But you nailed something in the chapter on, let me just pull it up. In the chapter on rooted power, and I've got to talk to you about this, because if we as feminine entities don't get these three myths right, we are doomed. And I need to just talk to you about them, and then we'll talk about the rest of the book.
Okay.
Myth number one, this is so paradoxical for us. OMG, if I didn't have a dose of this morning, needs are wrong, lower, unspiritual. Now, that's a myth. So that means that that is not a truth.
No, it's not true. It's not true.
It is our Achilles heel, I think, in so many ways.
You know, I think for a really practical kind of experiment for people listening, take a plant, you know, and don't water it. Every time you walk past it and you see it wilting, say, no, you don't need water. You have no need, you're a spiritual plant. And watch it wilt and die, you know. Or then give it the water that it needs and watch it come to life and bloom and fulfill its potential. And, you know, women were in this, you know, place where we've been trained to fill everyone else's needs whilst in a dimension that we shouldn't have any needs. And that's unsustainable. And I almost think that's kind of metaphorical for Mother Earth, like she has needs too.
Exactly.
She's not just this infinite resource that we can take from. Mother Earth herself, like us, has needs. We need to know about our needs, and we need to know about our planet's needs. This is crucial in these times.
You know, and the reason I bring this up, I was talking with somebody the other day who commented on what we call the New Thought Movement. I never called it that, you know, because I never understood what that meant. But this thing number two here, this is so big in it, and it caused a lot of people a lot of pain. And it's the second myth here in this one chapter. We should always be unconditionally loving.
Yeah.
That right there has caused more women to put themselves in physical harm, mental harm, spiritual harm. You get what I'm saying right here with this one?
Absolutely. And again, we just look to nature. So a big part of feminine magic is we have a great teacher, right, you know, here, nature. So if you think that, you know, there's, you know, this unconditional love, try and take a bear cub from its mama bear in the wild, and you'll soon see how unconditionally loving that mother is to you. You know, that bear mama will go hard to put a limit and a condition that you do not go near her bear cub, you know. So, again, a really big part of feminine magic. And, again, this is where we've been missing this balance. It's not to say there is not a place for the idea of a really beautiful, infinite love and a God or a source that's full of unconditional love. The issue comes when there's not this balance of feminine wisdom that says, but you in this finite human body, right? You have to have conditions and boundaries. You can't be just this unconditional font of acceptance for every kind of behavior. This is not the way of wisdom or magic.
I'm going to read this for everybody that's scratching their heads right now, because this one sentence right here in this part of the book, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say this. I'm going to say it. And it's under the common sense.
Okay.
It says, it is true that there is a universal love that permeates all of creation. Yet in the embodied manifestation of life on Earth, conditions are actually included within its love.
Yeah.
I hand wrote that out on a piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly. It's like love. I will say power is the structure of love, and part of being in your power is having access to these qualities like discernment, boundaries, and that's part of love. That's part of a loving creator who wouldn't create a world where you didn't have the energy reserves to just infinitely meet needs of other people, you know. So yeah, exactly. And you know, and in the Egyptian tradition, that was Ma'at. She held the sacred balance. So we can see this in the old traditions. This is not just like a new idea. All the old traditions, in the Celtic tradition, it was sovereignty, the land goddess, who chose the king based on his wisdom to keep things in balance and to make the laws, to make the rules that kept everything in balance.
And I'm just going to mention the last one, and then I want to spend the next time of having you share the insight and wisdom of the book, because I think these three are important. This is another one. I call these potholes. I know I've stepped in them. Maybe I'm not the only one on the planet, but no, I think you may have too. And it's this other one that we went through that really, I think this is the one that if we were to follow this myth, we would learn nothing from our failures or mistakes, whatever you all want to call it. There is nothing broken. Everything is perfect. I tried that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I got a disease in 2004 overnight. And I tried this is all good. Now, what I've learned from it, though, is how to take what was going on and look at my vibrational energy and use discernment. But this thing, everything is perfect, man, try to say that to a woman's been raped.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's this paradox. There's this real paradoxical energy in the feminine mystery. On a really vast cosmic scale, there is a sense of that there is a greater energy holding even our deepest struggles and wounds. But on a very practical level, and feminine magic is all about embodiment, is you can break things. And sometimes they can be fixed, and you know, sometimes they can't.
Yeah.
And so this is what we have to get this as a matter of an emergency for ourselves and the planet, is that, you know, we can't be like teenagers rampaging around, you know, breaking things because it's all perfect and it doesn't matter anyway and it's all in a divine plan. It's like, no, all the old traditions have said that we are guardians and custodians. We preserve things. We create the conditions for things to thrive. And when something gets broken, we accept that was a breakage, and that's where grief comes in, you know.
Yeah.
Honoring and lamenting and mourning and grieving, not to get stuck in that place, but just to, as a stage or a cycle we move through until we go into a rebirth cycle.
I want to thank you for your publisher
for allowing the inclusion of imagery, mm-hmm. of doing images,
yeah.
of doing almost magic card-like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm all over that. Because as I moved on to the rest of the book, what I realized is those three myths opened up the door for every little bit of healing that you then mm-hmm. offer throughout the book.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
yeah. the book really is, in my opinion, it is the place you go, whether you go to this page or you go to this page or you're drawn to this page or that page, you're going to heal something, aren't you?
Yeah. And you know what? The art also serves a magical feminine purpose because often mm. we read something and, you know, we have to sit with it. We can't just rush on to the next page and the next idea. Again, it's a sense of, like, not taking too much on but allowing time for things to digest and land. And so one of the purposes of the artwork is that you can be reading things and having energy in the book that's really like stirring. And then you come to an image and for a moment you can rest in that more feminine, magical consciousness. Because as you're looking at the image, which is by a really wonderful artist in the northeast coast of England, and your brain kind of relaxes a bit, that thinking mind just rests into the art and you get information from the art on this intuitive level and then you can go back into the words and the ideas.
Yeah, I got fixated on an image that came in the chapter, chapter 29, Healing Sacred Feminine Rituals Yoni Temple. Yeah. And at the end of that, like if you go through, I just could not take my eyes off the image,
yeah.
you know, and it was beautiful, beautiful image, so much detail, so much symbolism, you know, bringing the animal nature's tree of life, you know, yeah. bringing the divine spiritual mind in the flow of it. I mean, this one image, I stayed with this last night, I think for an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at it, I had to make it larger, and I thought, wow, so powerful. Because isn't imagery as well healing?
Exactly. And you know what? I'll just weave in a little bit of brain science here for us. So what I touch upon in this book, but in other writings I've done, I touch upon cerebellar consciousness. And the cerebellum is, it's kind of demoted as the primal or primitive part of our brain. It's in the back of our head. But what science is now discovering is that this is the part of our brain that is responsible for art, music, movement, feelings, relationship. And a way to think about the cerebellum is that if you've ever driven across town and you get somewhere and you can't remember driving, right? So who is driving? Who was driving you when you were like in your imagination, daydreaming, thinking about something? Your actual cerebellum is your mother mind. This mother mind processes like millions more information in every second than the thinking mind. It's like the mother of us, in the same way that if you were to have a crisis that your life was under threat, what happens is that mother mind, that cerebellum, shuts down your thinking mind to take over, to save you. And that is also where we can access magical powers. So looking at art, listening to music, meditating, all these modalities or magical things where, you know, it's almost like our brain softens and relaxes,
yeah.
and we shift from this very focused way of being into this back brain magical. You know, this is when we can really absorb a lot of information and insight. And even if we're not aware of it in the moment, it's kind of downloaded in us and it's become a spiritual guide to us. And it's like evolving us, and it will kind of come into our life and let us know the direction to take.
I love that. I mean, for those of you all that are just tuning in,
I just want to make sure you all know, because we've just been going, having a great conversation with Saren here. Saren, I want to make sure people know how to get a copy of the book. Can you tell folks the best way to do that?
So you can get the book at innertraditions.com, and they actually mail all across the world. So that's probably the best option. Of course, it's on all the Amazons as well, and it's also at Barnes & Noble on their website as well. So there's plenty of ways to get hold of it.
I want to invite you back, and Linda will make sure that happens.
Okay.
Because this is part one.
It's not possible.
I mean, people can go to your podcast. They can hear more about this. But there's so much in here. Everything from the fact that you really explained 2020 to me when you got to the part about Lady Saturn. Because I have my sun and three planets in Sagittarius, and I have my moon and three planets in Capricorn.
Okay.
So I didn't put this together, this Jupiter-Saturn thing.
Mm.
But the way you put it together went beyond the astrological version of it. I know we've got 2 minutes left.
Okay.
I can't thank you enough for joining me here today. I made my promise, and we did not take breaks, everybody. What would you love to say to us? And please, I hope you'll come back. Thank you so much for this beautiful weaving that we're calling a book.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure to be here and chatting with you. And, and to feel, you know, how you've interpreted the magic in the book is, and that's part of it. You've kind of put your own threads in it and created, you know, your own magic with it. And so it's, I always think they're like, books are like collaborations.
They are. And what I come away with this is, this is, for me, a web that includes the invisibility of consciousness, the invisibility of what you can and cannot see in magic. It combines it with our capacity, which is infinite, to do anything we could consciously come to. And then the third thing is how it moves you into action without you even knowing. But isn't that magic?
Of course. And you know, the magic of the weave is that even us being here today and everyone listening, that's part of the weave. That's no coincidence.
Yeah. We will have you back because I do want to get to a part two. And the part two that I would like to invite you back is to talk about when we look at all this together and we look at where we are in the world today, how it provides this beautiful collage for people to be able to shift, change, rise above, move ahead, and don't give up on your dreams.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You for that reminder.
Thank you.
What a very special body of work. It is a book. Please, you can get it on Amazon. You can get the Kindle version. I think there's actually an audio version. So everything is here. But most importantly, when you get your hands on it, everybody, you can open it up. You'll see a page. You'll see a poem. You'll see a quote. You'll see a message. Don't be afraid to take it in, because the weaver and the web are one, aren't they?
Absolutely.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a short break. I want to thank all of our friends at Inner Traditions. I want to thank Saren for coming on today. I want to thank her for not being afraid to take a very powerful message out that we need in the world today. And I want to thank all of you for being the best audience on the planet. We're going to take a really short break. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you. Betty Mathers here for a look at your alternative talk AM 1150 traffic update for around this hour. Well, we have a fire on I-5 southbound at miles 128 and 96th Street South. Not too long ago, the right two lanes have been blocked, so fire department can get that fire under control. DOT crews are arriving as quickly as they can. Disabled vehicle on Hood River Bridge has backed up traffic in both directions. That's on Highway 14 at Mapo 65 near the Hood River Bridge, and it's slowing things down. So bring your paces along with you while tow and ODT are on the way to take care of that disabled vehicle. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time it's Savvy Solutions with Gina Gale Gray. Make the journey back to me with a Freedom Coach and Oracle.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Republicans say Dr. Anthony Fauci may not be done with Washington just yet. He announced he's stepping down as chief medical advisor to President Biden in addition to other roles. On Twitter, Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs called Dr. Fauci a coward for leaving just before Republicans can pursue accountability. Almost 75% of Americans think the U.S. is headed in the wrong direction. That's according to an NBC News poll. Meanwhile, President Biden's approval rating in the poll went up to 42%. Northern California authorities are expected to soon give an update on a car and body that were found in a Truckee lake. They have yet to confirm the body is missing 16-year-old Kylie Rodney. The discovery was made Sunday in the Prosser Creek Reservoir near where Rodney was last seen. The attorneys trying to save the life of the convicted Parkland, Florida school shooter admit he needs to be held accountable.
Life without the possibility of parole is a severe enough penalty, is a severe enough punishment. When you not only look at the crime, but you look at the person that committed it.
In her opening statement, public defender Melissa McNeil painted a picture of how Cruz was failed by his biological mother, who was addicted to alcohol and drugs while pregnant, his adoptive mother, and the state. The second week of R. Kelly's child pornography trial in Chicago is underway. More testimony is expected today. Jurors on Friday saw graphic clips of video allegedly showing the R&B star sexually assaulting his 14-year-old goddaughter in the 90s. The trial is expected to last through mid-September. Jurors are expected to hear more testimony from other women who claim they had sexual contact with Kelly when they were minors. Last-minute preparations are underway as NASA prepares to launch its Artemis 1 mission a week from today. The space agency is scheduled to give an update tonight from Florida's Space Coast. The mission marks the beginning of a program aimed at getting humans back to the moon after 50 years. Officials say they're hoping to have the first woman and person of color on the lunar surface by 2025. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon, pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Savvy Solutions with Gina Gale Gray. Take the journey back to me with a Freedom Coach and Oracle. Find your solutions by joining me, Gina Gale Gray. Together, we can create a powerful synergy that will take down the walls that surround your heart and allow your emotional being to guide you towards connection and compassion. Feel yourself grow ever closer to remembering who you're meant to be with my 40-day Journey Back to Me program. You have a personal power within you that I would love to help you unlock so that you can achieve your newfound freedom. Savvy Solutions with Gina Gale Gray starts now.
Hey, everybody, welcome. I love that I get to take this journey back to me with Gina Gale Gray. And, you know, what I know, and this is what you all want to write down anywhere, mindbodysoul.com. just write that down, anywhere, mindbodysoul.com. Because I don't know about you all, but Gina Gale has been presenting now for several months and weeks this journey back to me. And she's been sharing it with you all in the way she brings it to you. It is a 40-day journey, and there's a reason it's a 40-day journey. And if you had any doubt whatsoever, you will not after today. And the body of work and what she's created to help all of us heal, shift, grow, allow our soul to reach whatever it needs to reach, unshackled, you will hear why this today, remembering your soul, feeling your way home, is powerful beyond any words I can talk to you about. Gina Gale, it's great to have you. This is the one. This is the thing that, like the other shows we've done, are there for a reason. But you must get to this point. We must get to remembering your soul, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the reward. And it's this last 10-day period during a 40-day journey back to me, this 10-day period is the reward. Coming back home and remembering who you are as a soul being, it's more important now than ever. We must find our way home to our own souls now.
Yeah. I mean, let's take a look at this about finding our soul. Because people may ask, well, what do you mean? Well, I don't know about anybody listening to this show, but I can tell you there have been points in time in my life where I didn't think I had a soul. Okay, so that's just a little bit of indicator something was off. But how do we find our soul?
Well, it's a multi-step process of recognition. It truly is recognition and remembering. And the first thing to remember is, where is a soul? Where is my soul? Where is the soul of others? Because we tend to say things like, that person has no soul, or I have no soul, because I can't feel it, I can't see it, I can't hear it. And in the journey back to me and in my work with my clients, I convince them completely of the reality of the soul. And some call it spirit, and there's multiple names for what this essence, what this aspect of us is. But the most important thing about soul, in my opinion, is it's eternal and it's infinite. And the infinity aspect is, where is it? Where is my soul? Where is your soul not? Your soul, my soul, the soul, all souls are everywhere. And these unseen aspects of ourself, when we remember how to look for them, and when we give the actual credit to these things as soul, when we do see them. And not only is it infinite, it's eternal. Eternal goes on forever. There is no end. And you can't box it up. You can't contain it within a skin suit. You can't contain it in a great white bearded man in the sky. You can't contain it within some amazing man-made construct anywhere on this earth. Because it can't be contained. It's everywhere. How do we see soul? How do we see soul? Soul will show itself, your soul will show itself to you in multiple ways every day when you open your eyes and start seeing. And I have an example just from today. I wake up today, and I subscribed a long time ago to this Daily Om. So I get an email every day. And look at what my daily OM message is today. Can you read that?
Oh, my gosh. Finding your soul home. Don't you have to really love this? Because Well, we're talking about the soul and it's infinite and it's eternal. People across the board have been sensing, where is it? Where is mine? Who took mine?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is blocking me from getting there? But you see, all of this is all intellectual unless we add what the other part of this episode is for today for people. And the second part is feeling your way home, right? Mm-hmm. Not minding your way home,
right,
but feeling your way home. And I don't think we talk about soul and feeling very often, do we? But isn't it essential in the body work you do?
Oh, it's absolutely essential. It is the missing piece. It's the missing aspect, which is why in the Journey Back to Me, I put it in the second 10-day period, because it then flows and we do the emotional releases and we talk about the feeling of things, feeling of thoughts before taking action and how important that is. But the way that we see soul and we see messages from the soul is basically what it is just like what I shared with you what happened today. It also happens when you're going to a doctor's office and there's a sign on the wall and you've been to that doctor's office 100 times and this day you read this message and this message gets your attention, speaks to you loudly. That's another way of seeing soul. When you see anything that evokes positive, high vibration, wonderful, beautiful feelings inside of you, that's a way to see soul. I see soul every time I watch a sunrise, every time I watch a moonrise. I can see that as a message from soul when you connect with that, and because it gives you, it evokes that feeling within you that you know the unseen is more powerful than what we physically can see in our physicality. Hearing soul is even easier to do, and I am learning some new sound healing technologies. I am playing around with the biofield tuning, and this is the most powerful thing that I've added to my toolbox lately. And the use of sound, the use of audible sound to again bring us back to soul. It is one of those tools that can just bust up the garbage that is in the way of us reconnecting with our soul. So you can also hear soul when you hear a song and all of a sudden you hear a certain message in the song. You hear a specific lyric in the song. And I'm very tuned into this method of hearing soul because my son, 23 years of his physical body existence, he was never able to speak words. The last 7 years of his existence, he couldn't even make a sound. And think about that for just a moment. 7 years of complete silence. We can't handle 2 minutes of complete silence. The monkey mind jumps in and says, I must perform. I must get your attention. We can't sit in this silence. Silence is scary. Can you imagine not being able to make a sound come out of your body? We hear messages in songs. We hear messages in podcasts that just cannot be denied. I had a client come to my house. I'm back at my home in Texas, and I had a client come to my house where I have all of my tools. And the first thing she said when she sat down was, and I asked her, you know, what all is going on? What are your issues that we're going to talk about today? What do you want to share with me? First thing she said was she believes she's just too sensitive. And then throughout the session with her, we watched a podcast that I wanted to share with her to introduce the tuning fork technology. And the first thing that was said in that podcast was, are you one of these people that people tell you you're too sensitive? And she said, did she just say what? That's what I said when I got here. And I said, that wasn't me. That is your soul calling out to you. That is your soul tapping you on the shoulder, tapping you on the ear, whispering in your ear, getting your attention through what you listen to. And you can only tune into this when you learn to be okay with listening to the silence.
Yeah.
And those things lead to feeling your soul. And when those things are all connected, which is what the Journey Back to Me is about, that's what the first three 10-day periods, we start with the physical, we focus on the emotional, we focus on the mental. By the time we get to the soul, we are reintegrating all of those aspects back into our soul, because that's what soul wants. Soul wants to remind us, you're so lucky to be here, even though a lot of people aren't feeling lucky right now, but you chose to be here, and you're here for a reason to experience all that there is to experience right now. And when you do that firmly embodied in your soul, and your soul embodied in your physicality, your experience changes.
Yeah.
And that missing aspect of that is the emotional being, the emotional aspect of it. And I've said before, there's this habit that we've adopted, and we call this progress, where we just go from thinking to doing, as if we are linear, as if life is that simple. It's just a forward, you know, maybe forward and up, think, do, think, do, think, do, think, do. And we call that progress. And you know what? A whole lot of thinking and doing, you amass a whole lot of stuff with your thinking and doing. And when you remember to bring back in the aspect of thinking, feeling, doing, I mean, just watch the difference between thinking, doing. It's just linear. It's just a straight line, as if we were robots, which we are not. When you add in thinking, feeling, doing, you can go all directions, thinking, feeling, doing. And it opens you up and expands your existence as a multidimensional being. We are here to think, feel before we do. And when we remember to do that, it will change your life. And doing that for yourself first, coming back to your soul first, then prepares you to be in a much better place for helping others.
Yeah. What I love about what you're talking about is it's almost like the soul is waiting for us to remember how to feel, because once that happens, and we'll talk about what feeling looks like, but once that happens, then we're on the pathway to, quote, find our soul, right? And I want to talk about that. You know, I want to keep going here and skip the break, because, you know, this idea, if you look at it sort of the way that you beautifully laid it out, is that people might wonder, why is it so hard for me? Well, first of all, let me say this. There may be a life path that you have in front of you where you may think you're going to be able to do this all by yourself. My life path was not like that. There was no way that I was going to skip this, right? This is not like skipping lunch. This is essential. And let's talk about, how did you find your soul? How did that happen? What was that like for you, Gina Gill?
It was messy. It was extremely messy. And it happened in 2019. And 2019, February 8th, 2019, is when my son Spencer dropped his body and he transcended to light. And that was hard. That was the the darkest days of my life. The darkest day of my life was the day that he left, and I went back to the house, because he was only at a facility less than 24 hours before he left, and that was his choice. We were in agreement. He, his dad, and I were in agreement that we would never go back to a hospital, and that was after 2012. And when we were in the hospital in 2012, when he had RSV, spent 60 days in ICU,
He wasn't going to live, according to them. Greatest ICU in the country, Cook Children's ICU. While we were there, daily children died. Daily I would hear the wailing of mothers and dads and loved ones as children left, children leave. Then there was a little girl next to us, and she was 16 years old. And Spencer was 16 years old at that time. And the day that she died, the day that she left, because the walls are thin, we're right next door to each other, the day that she left, and she had been there a long time, and the day that she left was an awakening of its own. And we made an agreement then that this is not where Spencer will leave. He will not leave in a facility. So we did everything that we did to get out of there, and we did. We made it out of there.
Wow.
So 7 years later, when his end came for him, we tried to make it happen at home. It didn't work. So we went to the hospital. And so I came home after he left, and I sat alone in a chair outside of his room in complete silence. And there hadn't been silence around Spencer for 7 years, because a ventilator makes a lot of noise. Suction machines make a lot of noise. There's alarms and dings, and you hear the breath and all of these things. And so to hear that complete silence for the first time it wasn't enjoyable. And that wasn't the end of it. That was February of 2019. In March of 2019, my husband of 30 years filed for divorce. In April of 2019, I was diagnosed with skin cancer. June of 2019, my mother, her body dropped its mind, and she was put into a facility.
Mm.
So everything that I knew as home was just sold, because she was put into a little room in a facility. June of 2019. October of 2019, I had to have surgery for the first time in my life, because I had developed trigger finger on my thumb from vacuuming the house. It was not fun. So the fall of 2019, these things just kept getting piled on and piled on and piled on. I was preparing our property to sell. My husband and I had several properties, so the beginning of getting rid of everything that I had known my entire adult life. Spencer left, my husband left, the homes had to be sold, my mother left, mm-hmm. and it just kept being how much more. And so I was getting the house, 5 acres, 5-bedroom house, 5,600 square feet of living space, and I'm taking care of all of this myself. Things were breaking. Expensive things were breaking. There was 2 crews of workers there. I was getting messages from them that things were not going well at all. I hit the floor, literally. Literally, I fell to the floor in my office. And I always have music playing. Let me set this up. I always have music playing, because music keeps me going. So I'm not paying attention to the music, but it's playing. So I had a complete meltdown. I had gotten a call about something not going wrong, and that was it. So I was on the floor. I was screaming at the top of my lungs to Spencer, "I want to go with you. I don't want to be here anymore. I can't be here anymore." And I was literally pounding the floor and screaming and crying and trying to figure out, help me, how can I die? How can I get out of here? Because there's nothing for me here without you. I hear back very, very clearly, "Listen." Right in the middle of all of this, music's playing, guys are outside working, I'm having a fit, I'm screaming, and I hear very clearly, "Listen." And I tuned into what was being sung by Imagine Dragons on the stereo at that time. And here's what I hear. "Oh, give me strength and give me peace. It's just another downpour. Don't let it get the best of you. It's only up from the floor. Light everything inside of you. I don't want to let you go. I don't want to let you go. Don't burn out on me." And I tell you what,
I did get up off the floor. And I sucked it up, and I went over, and I listened to the rest of that song, and I went and I printed out the lyrics, and I read the entire lyrics. There are no coincidences.
Mm-hmm.
There are no, maybe this was a message for me, maybe. That was so profound and so powerful. And what I had to do, even in the middle of all of that noise, noise coming from me, noise coming from outside, noise coming from, deep inside that noise, my soul found me. Now, Spencer had a great hand to play in it because he absolutely runs the jukebox in the cosmos now, because he always used song lyrics to get our attention. But that day, that was so powerful, and I knew, and Spencer helped me know, that was my soul. It wasn't time for me to leave, and I was not to go with him. I had something here left to do, and it was time to get off the floor, figure it out, and keep going.
Yeah.
And that was 2019.
Yeah.
March of 2020, the damn demic shows up. That's what I call the whole thing. And it didn't touch me because I had already been through so much.
Right, exactly.
And that's when I created Journey Back to Me. That's when I began the presentation and somehow started pulling together what was my path. How did I survive? How did I journey back to me? And the answer is my soul didn't give up on me. And your soul never will give up on you. Learn to listen to its messages and follow its path, and I can help you do that.
And what you're talking about is, it is so deeply important in what is needed to truly journey back to me, to truly remember the soul did not disappear. It didn't ban you from having its presence because of some guilt or shame or some other things you think you did. You know, and what I love about what you shared is so many people are at this place where they feel the same thing. I've lost this. I'm losing this. I don't even want to talk about divorce rates right now because, I mean, we're seeing it left and right. But this is not the end of the story. And we're going to talk about this when we come back from break. Because out of that, look what you've created. And I love, something just struck me because people asked me during 2020, and astrologically for somebody like me, that whole grand thing that happened between Jupiter and Saturn, those are my moon and sun. And so people would ask me, we don't know how you're continuing, you're growing, you're in the middle of the pandemic, but you just nailed it. You just explained why. You just explained why. When we come back, we're going to talk about this why, and we're going to take you on a journey of how Spencer, showing up as we speak, what Gina Gale has created, why journey, and this is why this is important, why journey back to me with Gina Gale Gray, freedom coach, oracle, why this is so powerfully important, but more importantly, this is why it works. If you think about 40 days is nothing in your life, if you could look at where you are today and you're thinking, I don't have a soul, my soul has left me, because that's where you feel. When we come back, we're going to tell you about how you can work with Gina, and more importantly, see, when you have something happen to you in your life, when you feel a loss,
when you get sick and you lose control of your body and you feel like you have been abandoned and you don't understand why is it I go to bed at night knowing that I could not wake up in the morning. Whatever these things are for you, they are openings. When we come back, we're going to talk about now the portal is open. Holy cow, how much good are you willing to receive? Before we go to break, how do people find out about you? Let's get them over to the website. And Journey Back to Me is your offering. I mean, this is something you'll do. You take people with you, 40 days transformed, and life has a new freedom. How do they sign up? How do they register? Any of the above.
Come to my website, anywheremindbodysoul.com. Follow the links. It's easy. I'll get a message from you, and we'll have a consultation, and I'll listen to you, and we'll make a plan. We'll start the journey. We'll pack for the journey.
You got to pack for the journey.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're packing for the journey. When we come back, we're going to talk to you a little bit, or Gina's going to talk to you a little bit about how you know that's your soul. We just showed you a little bit how you know. But how do you know, like really know? And you guys heard me talk about doubt in the last hour. We're going to take that on when we come back. How do you know? How wouldn't Gina Gail Gray know? How could she possibly have not known she was connected to Spencer? When we come back, that and so much more, we'll be right back.
About impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
To Maximum Resilience with me, Kelly Bazzani, your ally for addiction, the first Monday of each month at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join us and engage in this epic journey of how to own your power and change your perception of addiction while we revolutionize the approach that ensures mental health as we address a worldwide epidemic. Take the steps that lead you towards an incredible life of maximum resilience. We do recover. Visit MyResilienceCoach.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Bryant, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Bryant brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Bryant, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Are you struggling with truly being happy in life? Do you often question who you really are? I'm Tracy Lynn Wallace, a self-love mentor and life coach who can help you identify and access subconscious blocks to move you into a place of freedom, success, and happiness. Visit InspiredWisdomCoaching.com to sign up for my VIP list and get updates on my exclusive workshops so you can awaken your magic within. That's InspiredWisdomCoaching.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dreams that set your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes. So live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Patassa the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. For those of you out there, Gina Gail Gray and Savvy Solutions, and this is about the soul, but the gift of what we're talking about came to her, as you heard in the first part of the hour, came to her through a series of very painful, painful events. And during the break, we were talking about what do we do when we go through those painful events, but more importantly, how do we know what to do? How do we know how to be? How do we know that? And the connection with the soul, feeling your way home, remembering your soul is pivotal. And for those of you out there, it is one leg of the 40-day journey back to me where you'll work with her directly. You'll learn so many things. You'll go through. You're not going to have to do this alone. Because this is a journey that takes you to that place of freedom. And in order to get there, you may have to learn how to heal some things, how to have fun again, how to just be a beautiful, beautiful person. And many of the things that you all do and know, the workshops you take, the other things, they leave this part out. This right here, what we're talking about today, this thing doesn't even get talked about. As a matter of fact, if you want to do any work on the soul, most of the time you have to go and get something about it like itself. But what Gina Gail Gray has done is she knows the whole picture. She's been through the whole picture. And this right here today is remembering your soul and feeling your way home. Look, you and I were talking during the break, and while, you know, I haven't lost a son, of course, I've lost people. And by the way, I've lost every important woman in my life, right, suddenly, quickly, and unexpectedly. But when my body failed, I had no clue. You see, it doesn't matter what you're talking about or where you're putting yourself. Right now, people are lost. And I think it's what you're talking about, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We don't remember our soul. So let's talk about, you know, what it means now when you find your soul, right? How do you know your soul is speaking? Because if we can wrap our minds around that, aren't we then going to see the pathway?
Yes. Yes, we are. And there's so much wisdom that floods to me now from Spencer. And it always did. And one of the things that I recently realized, the journey back to me was created for me. My soul created it for me and just laid it out. And then it's now my role as a human in a body to present it and use it to help others and take the journey myself over and over again. And when we talk about the first 10-day period, the physical body, we talk about what am I here to do? Then when we talk about the emotional body, we discuss what am I here to feel, and we get more in tune with our feelings and understand our feelings. All of our feelings are here to guide us and help us. Anger, guilt, frustration, doubt, depression, all of those things, heartache, they're okay too. They're not okay to stay there. They're messengers. And
anytime that those come up, the thing to do is to feel them and let them flow on through, because those are guides. That's the thinking, feeling. How does this feel? Feel the feeling, feel the emotion before you do the next step. Third 10-day period, mental. What am I here to think? Fourth 10-day period, what am I here to be? That's when we scratch our head. Are we all in meditation all the time, just being, no doing? No. The mantra that I teach when we start the journey back to me goes like this. Here I am, alive, fully empowered to be who I am and do what I came here to do, which is be who I am. You cannot do what you came here to do without knowing who you came here to be. So Spencer Gray spent 23 years in a body that had zero ability to do. He could not do anything. And that was hard. He could not speak. He could not move independently. He never walked. He could not. He could yes, and he could no. So wrap your mind around that. 23 years inability to do. But let me tell you something. His soul chose wisely, because he chose not only his mama and his dad, he chose all the people in his life.
Mm.
He chose people who he knew he could rely on to do the doing for him so he could be his greatness. He came into this existence having mastered the beingness.
Yeah.
And people who got him, who fully got him, they would come into the house or come into his presence wherever and, you know, hey you, straight to Spencer, especially his Aunt Vicky. She's an amazing force, and she was one of his favorite people. No one else existed, and once she got to the house for a visit, she never left his side. And other people, you know, people surrounded him, not because he had a need and couldn't do for himself, because he had something that they couldn't understand. And they flocked to him, and they hung out with him, and they would learn to communicate with him because I would teach them. He understood everything said. Mm-hmm. And in order to have a conversation, an interaction with him, you had to listen. You had to learn to listen to the silence.
Mm-hmm.
Because although he was silent, he was saying a lot, and he was bossy, and we called him the king, because he could order his entourage, and we all learned how to figure out what it was and the things that he could manifest. And his book, I'm writing down his book. I am not writing.
Yeah.
Listen to the Silence, Messages and Miracles from Spencer, who never spoke words. I am not writing that book. I am writing it down. And it's story after story after story, him proving the existence of these invisibles, these forces in life that are so much more important than the physical doingness that we all think we're here to do. We think we're so smart. We think, you know, doing and building and so much building, we never consider all the destruction that we're doing to construct. That's nothing constructive about it. When you destruct everything in your path and cover this beautiful earth in concrete and consider that to be better than the grass that grows and the trees that grow, all of those things. Spencer was my greatest teacher and still is.
Yeah.
The way that he communicated, he figured this out brilliantly when he was quite young, that lyrics of songs said specific, especially country songs, say specific direct lines. And he could orchestrate, he could put together an entire narrative and boss around his entire entourage by using the lyrics of songs.
He mastered that when he was here. So that's why I now know once he dropped his body and went back to his soul and spiritual beingness, mm-hmm. the freedom that he enjoys, and I know there is a cosmic jukebox in the sky, and Spencer Gray holds the tokens for that. And he uses music. He will hijack people's radios. They'll have a series where, oh, it's just hard metal. And then all of a sudden, Jason Aldean will pop on, and they'll say, hey, Spencer, I know who that is, because people who know him are familiar with the use of that. But the power in that, and the power in his ability to be that guru and to teach that beingness, that's what the soul is. It's what everyone's soul is in partnership with the Spencers of the multiverse to remind us, be more, do less. Go ahead and do, but know who you came here to be before you try to figure out what you came here to do. What if we flip that? Yeah. What if we started teaching our children, or noticing when our children get here, they're here to teach us. What are they passionate about when they're children, before we squash them and shut them down? Follow that, encourage them to find how they're going to make use of that and how they're going to share their gifts. Everything is a gift. Every experience is a gift. Even the ones that we don't really like, we can sit down and cry about them. We can commiserate. Oh, my gosh. We are so good at commiserating. Woo, it's not hard at all to find someone to, hey, and then we one-up each other. But, oh, well, that was bad. Well, here, mine's a little bit worse. And then somebody else will chime in with, well, here, mine. And where does that get you?
Yeah.
Where does it get you?
My gosh, I was speaking with someone that went away for an extended weekend and was just around people that were just, I don't even have a language for it. The best way to talk about it is, if you're not used to being around low vibration anything, whatever your language is, call it whatever you want. I don't know how else to explain it here on talking about it, but you know when you feel it. And if you're not accustomed to that, and you think you're going away for 4 days, and that is all you're around, you have to really think about what Gina just said, because there are ways you can participate that if you have to, especially if it's family. But I love what you said, because when people think, you know, I need to figure out what I could do, and the answer is, well, learn how to be.
Even 5 minutes of beingness.
5 minutes. Of being can give you so much insight. I know what I get in 10 seconds of that, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's really, you know, the guided path that you help people on, because rather than go through it one time and, oh, look, I just got a minute of being, people can live their lives in this way by learning a few things. By learning, you know, and isn't that what Journey Back to Me is all about?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it about that process? Because this was given to you because of what you went through to help people get you to a place where you are eye to eye, neck and neck with them, and could take them through whatever they were going through.
Even if eye to eye is, we're both up to here in quicksand.
No kidding. That's what I meant.
and you're in quicksand right next to me. You know what? I'm going to figure out how to get us out of there.
Yeah.
Because experiences, and especially experiences with Spencer, which you'll read about these experiences in his book, because he's sharing them. And the coolest thing is he's sharing them from his perspective. And it's so fascinating because, you know, I thought I knew it all. I am privileged that I, when he was here, I was his voice. I figured that out really, really soon. And I know I got it right most of the time. Because like I said, Spencer could do this for yes, and he could do this for no. And if you got it wrong,
he could gnash his teeth at you, and he could you know, vehemently shake his So he didn't cave. So I know I got it right. One of the things that he says in his book is there are things that we think we know, there are things that we feel we know, and then there are things we know we know. The things that we know, those are soul. That is your aspect of soul giving you a big yes. He'll clack his teeth together like that for yes. And the reason that, because he couldn't ever hold his head up, and in his power truck, he never called it a wheelchair, it was a power truck, he had a headrest, and when he would do this for yes, his head would fall forward.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if somebody wasn't right there to put it back, so he very quickly figured out this is yes. So a nice clacking of the teeth was yes. So there are things we know. And now if I'm hearing something or listening to someone and something resonates with me, and it's like this morning, finding your soul home, I read that. There's more information. There's things I don't know that are in that little narrative. And as soon as I read the sentence that I know, I hear Spencer. Told you so. There's still, he's working with my soul. And let me tell you this. The thing I now know about soul, it's really, really easy for me to know. And again, sitting in that chair outside his room the day I came home from the hospital and knew I would never see him again that way, it was such a profound experience to immediately... I had this deep, deep, deep pain right where my belly button is, and it hurt so bad. It hurt so bad, and I sat there crying because of that pain in the pit of my stomach. And then something amazing happened, and I received the message, that's the last of our physical attachment. That's where we're connected. We're connected at our umbilical cord to our mothers, and our children are connected. There's that center. It's also your solar plexus. And he let me know when that was severed, and I felt it.
Wow.
Felt it. And it was the strangest thing. I felt him leave. I felt him take that connection with him physically. And immediately I felt a rush in my heart and my soul, and he let me know, I was in your soul before you gave birth to me. I'm in your soul still. Never forget this. Mm-hmm. And one of the first, he started writing poetry right away. Within a month, he wrote this beautiful, beautiful poem, and it starts out, I'm in the air, I'm everywhere. I'm in the sea, just watch for me. And recently, when I was back in Mexico, I was standing at the ocean, and I know Spencer's in the sea. He shapeshifts as a dolphin quite often to me and others. And I'm looking out over the sea, and I said, Spencer, I want to see you. I haven't seen dolphins yet. I want to see you. Immediately, the first dolphin, three or four dolphins, and they're all just swimming and playing out there. And then I hear... I'm in the sea. Just watch for me. And then I hear, because you set me free. And it was, you know, all of these things, okay? There's this mixture of extreme joy and sadness. And these are tears of both. We can mix up our emotions. But the thing is, feel them. Let them out. Don't let anyone tell you to stop crying, or that crying's not okay, or that expressing it or talking about it or sharing the feeling of it. Yeah, that hurts, and it brings me joy all at the same time, because I know that's true. And that's the way we have to look at all of the loss, all of the humans who have left. Hard to grasp, but their soul chose to leave for whatever reasons you can't understand. But they don't, when they leave, they don't actually leave. The soul aspect is, your soul is a part of my soul. My soul is a part of your soul. We also have share.
the soul of all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just here on Earth. It's much bigger than that. But start with just this.
Mm-hmm.
We all share the same soul. We are our own unique aspect, our own unique expression of soul. So get busy expressing your soul in a way that you can be proud of.
I love that we're talking about this part because I want to bring this, you know, I want to really remind everybody that's tuning in, this pathway to freedom cannot happen without feeling. So I just want to be really clear to everybody out here. Now, here's what I know for me. I've learned that I don't have to take this journey alone. And somehow, if you've learned to suck up your feelings, somewhere along the way, somebody told you you better do it in silence and do it alone. And what I think you're here to say and I'm here to say is that is not the pathway to freedom. That is literally a Band-Aid. It may get you a day, it may get you a month, but it's not going to get you there.
No.
And what you've done is you put it all together, though. You know, all of it is in Journey Back to Me. I can't thank you enough for telling the stories today and for having Spencer join you in telling the stories today.
Yeah.
Because when we feel that feeling, we know what that is. We know what that is.
Stop it down.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much. Can you just give folks a little bit more information on how they can work with you? How they can find out more about Journey Back to Me, and anything else you'd like to share. And thank you to you and to Spencer for today.
Yeah, just learn from Spencer. He's the greatest teacher. His book will be, I hope, published by the end of this year. That is our goal. And it is beautiful messages and miracles, bringing everyone back to the abilities. Because here was this person who lived 23 years being labeled disability.
Yeah.
So he proved. He chose carefully. He was able to accomplish everything, but not without others. The connection and the term that is most important, Spencer and I were gratefully connected. So think about, please, everyone, think about your connections to the people who mean the most to you. And then put the icing of gratitude on top of that connection. Look for it. Even if you don't feel it right now, it's there. It was there or you wouldn't be connected to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not the truth, move away from that person. One of the greatest inspirations is we are not here, you are not here to judge another, try to fix another, try to help another, or hurt another. You have the freedom to move away from those who you're not in alignment with so they can live their journey.
Mm.
So we'll do that in the Journey Back to Me. Spencer shows up in every journey.
Yeah, and that's why you're a freedom coach. That's why what you do is to guide people through whatever the steps are, however the process is, whatever the journey is like, it is a Journey Back to Me. Thank you so much for everything today. Thank you for sharing the story. Thank you for demonstrating what freedom looks like, what it sounds like. And thank you for giving people the hope and the knowing that feeling will get you there. Thank you. For those of you out there,
thank you for listening to Savvy Solutions with me, Gina Gale Gray. Take the journey back to me with a freedom coach and oracle on transformationradio.com. Come back every fourth Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific to further your progress towards rediscovery. You can also join my 40-day Journey Back to Me program to unlock your true potential and reunite with your soul. There's no time to waste. I'll share inspirations, which are messages from a spirit named Spencer, and lead you toward your solutions. Go to anywhere, mindbodysoul.com, and ask for a complimentary mind, body, and soul session. That's anywhere, mindbodysoul.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily...